With nearly 8,000 students, Carson City has one of the larger school districts in the state. But nearly half of the students there live below the federal poverty line. That can present a real challenge for educators in Nevada's capital city. KUNR's Paul Boger spoke with Carson City School Superintendent Richard Stokes about the challenges and opportunities facing the district.
Tell me a little bit about this particular school year. Carson City Schools is kind of one of the mid-sized school districts in the state. What are we looking at this year?
Well, for several years, we've been watching the physical growth of our community. Mm-hmm. Anybody who's been to Carson City recently will know that there's an increase of traffic. There's an increase in just general hustle and bustle in town. And so that typically translates into more students in our schools. Not necessarily the case this year. We have about 7,800 students in our school district. And that's been pretty steady for the most part of the last 10 years. So just now, again, we're starting to see that growth and more just activity in town, but really hasn't translated into a high number of students yet.
So what are some of the top challenges, if you will, that are facing the school district right now? I think last time we spoke, you talked about there being a teacher shortage and that, you know, there were issues with making sure that you had the right number of qualified teachers in the classroom, right?
I believe that the teacher shortage is nationwide.
Yeah.
We're definitely feeling it here in Northern Nevada. We did fairly well this year, though. We still have some vacancies, and those vacancies tend to be in some of our highly sought after positions like special education. A couple of interesting things that have happened here in our school district is we had two teachers at Carson High School several years ago who decided to do something about that teacher shortage, and they started taking interested students at the high school level, and they actually created a dual credit class with UNR, and through that partnership, we kind of started this Grow Your Own project. And so we have, I think our most recent class, we had 34 students who are juniors and seniors at Carson High School who said, yeah, we'd like to take a class and learn more about what it actually is like to be a teacher. And if we like that, you know, maybe we're now well on our way towards studying education as a career opportunity or choice through UNR. And so we're kind of excited about that. And we're hoping then that our own students here who have family in Carson City might go away to college, come back as teachers who want to live here. And we know that those young people in that situation would want to stay here, which is a good thing for us.
There's a lot of talk of achievement scores and achievement tests and ratings. You know, how is the district doing when it comes to those achievement rates?
Well, we feel like we're in the hunt. We have been fortunate. We have great professionals who work for us. And as our students take the exams, and of course, as we learn more specifically what some of the requirements are coming out of the State Department of Education, you know, our systems are starting to come together so that we're doing quite well on those. We're yet to see officially the school star ranking systems. Those won't come out until the middle of September. And the same thing goes for the ACT. But in recent years, we have been above the state average in most of those exams.
And what do you attribute that success to? I mean, that is unfortunately not necessarily common.
Well, I think it's a cultural condition. One, it starts at home. We have great people who live in Carson City who support their children. They support the schools. In a lot of cases, a lot of our parents actually attended school here in Carson City. And so just the fact that there's great tradition here in people supporting the schools and being part of the school system, I think that sets a great tone. We then have some tremendously gifted teachers. We have some hardworking principals. We have a very supportive board. I think all of those things add up together in the formula that puts us where we are.
But there are some challenges, right? I mean, it's not all sunshine and rainbows in public education.
Without question, there are challenges. I would probably start with the fact that 50% of our students actually live below the federal poverty line. So if you think of, two kids walking into any school, one of those is probably one who qualifies for free and reduced lunch. That's how we count those students. And sadly, it's families who don't make enough to provide for all of the needs of their children from just a standard of living perspective. And so when those kids are coming to school and maybe they haven't had breakfast, or maybe they know they're not going to have lunch, or maybe they didn't have dinner two nights ago, those kids have a challenge when it comes to doing schoolwork. I mean, if your physical basic needs aren't being taken care of, or maybe not enough, they're going to have a hard time settling into, learning algebra, for example. So that's certainly one challenge. We also have about 17% of our students who don't speak English, or who speak English at a lower level than maybe their classmates. And so, anyone trying to imagine going into an academic setting and then being tasked with this idea or consideration that they're not going to be able to hear the lesson in their native tongue, well, that creates a challenge right there. And so there are a number of those kinds of social issues that throw barriers up for students just right out of the chutes.
How do you address those situations?
Well, we are fortunate in that the state of Nevada has recognized that those special populations exist in our schools. And in recent years, there's been some additional funding, which has allowed us to then advertise and hire for specialists who can come into the classroom and provide additional help and support. As far as free and reduced lunch, the federal government makes the National School Lunch Program available. And so with the help of the federal government and also the state government, we're able to provide those children with food. And in some cases, we're able to help them with medical needs and certainly support as it applies to making sure that they have school supplies, clothing, some of those things, and in some cases, even more secure housing. So it seemed like our area, and I know specifically Carson City, we have just some tremendously dedicated individuals who run nonprofit organizations that make sure the children in our community are well taken care of.
That brings me to this question over the state's new funding model, which doesn't take effect this year, but will take effect in 2021. You had concerns about that when it was being pushed through the legislature. What are your thoughts now?
Well, there's still a lot we don't know. A couple of things come to mind, though, and one is that I'm really grateful that our lawmakers elected to tackle the problem, to at least begin talking about it. And with that, I think that between now and the next legislative session, with this new project being looked at and talked about regularly, I think the school districts and our superintendents, our CFOs will have a great opportunity really to help shape what that process looks like ultimately. And the goal is to have adequate funding, enough funding for everybody, regardless of their situation or their need, to take care of their educational requirements. A minute ago, I mentioned that we had FRL and EL students, or students who don't speak English as their first language. Well, those kinds of conditions need to be addressed, maybe even more, for those students to do as well as maybe their white counterparts who are, living here with more benefits and more opportunities than students who don't, for example, speak English. So I think there's a good opportunity for us just to study the issues. We all have an opportunity for input. Now, so even though you mentioned that the financial model doesn't kick in until the year 2021, we have an understanding that the new funding model will be running concurrently with the old model so that we can see, hey, does this funding meet the needs of the schools? Are we meeting all of the unique subpopulations that attend our school? Are we meeting their needs? And so I'm hopeful. I'm gonna leave it at that and just say that, grateful for the lawmakers and the state's men and women who are trying to see to the needs of the educational needs in Nevada.
That was KUNR's Paul Boger speaking to Richard Stokes, the superintendent of Carson City Schools.